Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys are enjoying your day so far. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, even a text, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. I got to get some padding up in this new room that I'm building into a studio here. I got a bunch of those, like, packing blankets and stuff, but I also don't, I got to think of a creative way for it to still look nice and have those up. I got a couple of ideas. Also, another great thing is about having the internet here, getting a lot better streams, downloads, the audio is sounding better whenever I'm doing interviews with guests over Zoom. But the other great thing is, you know, I'd already had HBO Max. You know, everybody's sharing their streaming services now. I probably shouldn't say that. But I've been able to watch it on the TV now because beforehand, I was only able to watch everything on my phone. There's a couple of shows that I... Why do we binge watch TV shows? I mean, I think like HBO, Disney Plus, Amazon... Any of those shows, they don't release them all at one time. Netflix was always, and I still think they're notorious for doing that, is putting up all a whole season. Like Ozark's about to come out. And I guarantee you, I will get through Ozark in little under a week and a half. But I've been trying to catch up on some old shows. Mentioned this yesterday with my conversation with Charlie. I've actually had to slow down a little bit on two shows. Big Love, been watching Big Love with my mom. She's been loving that. See, that's the other thing. A lot of these shows, you'll go back and you'll watch them right away. I'd never watched The Wire all the way from beginning to end. At the time, I don't even think we had HBO whenever The Wire came out. Big Love, I ended up watching Big Love when I was married with my ex-wife, but I don't remember a lot of it. I don't even think I ended up finishing the whole series. But I actually had to slow myself down because I started The Wire probably about a week ago. And I just finished season 3. And I know that I only got 2 left. And that show is so goddamn good. So I'm going to kind of pace myself a little bit. But I'm sure that, like anybody that has an addictive personality, I will not be able to help myself. Big Love, though, it's kind of nice to be able to catch a show that you and maybe one of your parents might be into, and she's really been enjoying it. I got to tell you, though, a lot of people always, oh, would you want 3 wives? Hell no. Hell no. I couldn't even handle one. And another thing, I didn't even realize that Bill Paxton was dead until I started watching it, because that was one of those celebrity deaths that just flew under the radar. In other news, first news story I want to get into, I talked about this because I was watching Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, and they do some very, very fascinating stories on that. A lot of people sleep on it, but I got to tell you, it is good if you're a sports fan, because they're not just talking about stats. They're talking about the human interest stories. And when I saw this on Real Sports, I was like, Jesus, because I followed the news. I'm constantly looking for things to talk about. Even if I wasn't doing this podcast, I would still be checking out the news. Because news is like markers in our life, and we do remember them. But my mind was blown whenever I heard this story on Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, because I really do feel that this next story should have gotten a lot more attention.
The University of Michigan has reached a $490 million settlement.
Oof, man. I know that you're a big ass university, but a half a billion dollars, that's definitely a stinger in the wallet. And by the way, this is not an old story. This story broke overnight. Probably late last night. And if a lot of you guys don't know this, they get into it. But the one thing I don't like about this is that this report, because it's on like national news, they're not going to give you all the gory details. And I think that the details are very, very important when it comes to this, because I learned a lot more about this story when I watched it on Real Sports with Brian Gumbel.
With more than 1,000 victims who say they were sexually assaulted by one of the school's former sports doctors.
Okay, I got to jump in here. This was done by football players. Big, muscular, strong, athletic men. And a lot of people are probably asking, oh yeah, why? These are grown-ass men. How the hell did they get sexually molested by this doctor? Well, this is something that they don't talk about in this story, but Brian Gumbel and them did. And I'm saying Brian Gumbel. But a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, the strong men. How did they get molested? Well, I'll tell you why. A lot of these players are on scholarship. They didn't want to rock the boat. The coaches knew what was going on. And they would say, hey, got to go in. Got to cough. And by cough would be the football players would have to take down their pants. The football players would have their testicles, pretty much the D and the B's, dick and balls, were fondled. And I'm not laughing because this is very, very sad, but it needs a lot of explanation. If any of the football players were dragging ass or the coach didn't like them, they would do it as a form of punishment. They would laugh. Hey, time to go get you, time to call for the doctor. Time to get the prostate checked. That is the other thing. A lot of people didn't know this one. We're talking about 18, 19, 20, even 23-year-old players. They would have to get their prostate checked. You don't get your prostate checked until you get around 40. So what is the deal? What is the deal? And then come to find out, this doctor was getting these football players to give semen samples. And you're like, oh, what? Well, a lot of them would get hit in the balls or whatever, and I guess they wanted to find out if there was blood in the semen. And the guys would have to do it. But at the end, the doctor would hold the football player's penis to make sure he got enough of a sample. What the is going on with this?
It comes after a string of lawsuits filed mostly by men who claim the late Dr. Robert Anderson sexually abused them during routine medical examinations spanning nearly four decades.
As far as the legal aspect, the matter is not resolved, and they can continue with their healing journey.
On that Real Sports episode that I did see with Brian Gumbel, one of the guys, you're talking about lawsuits. Oh, it happened a long time ago. How can you sue? Well, I'll tell you why. One of the players ended up having the old prostate exam done numerous occasions. Then, when he got to the age that he actually had to have his prostate exam, guess what? He would not do it. He freaked out. He went about 8-10 years, finally got the prostate checked out because he was having health problems, and guess what? The guy has prostate cancer. He has prostate cancer. Prostate cancer, if it's caught early enough, can be fixed. It can be healed. You can make it out of it if you're checked soon enough. And he freaked out because of trauma earlier on in his life that he was afraid. He freaked out when the real doctor, the doctor that wasn't molesting him, wanted to actually check his prostate, and the guy had a breakdown. He left. He left, and it could have been caught because they said he had it for quite a while. And I think that this guy deserves every bit of it because he, even as sick as he was, he stood out in front of the president of University of Michigan every single day. He camped out in front of the guy's house until he would have a conversation with him. And guess what? Never had a conversation with him. I would like to find out if this guy is even still alive, because he would have to take all of his treatments out there on the sidewalk. And they basically gave him about less than a half a year to live.
Dr. Anderson died in 2008. He worked at the university from the late 1960s into the early 2000s, serving as a physician for multiple teams.
I say you dig him up. You dig him up. And, you know, say if you live in it, because I think a couple of the players living in the South, when you're driving up to Michigan, stop by Louisville, Kentucky, get one of those Louisville sluggers, dig up this doctor's dead corpse, and give him a prostate exam with a wooden bat.
One report found the alleged abuse was an open secret among some students, and university staff failed to investigate multiple claims or stop the abuse from continuing. Survivors say the university needs to be held accountable.
What we're talking about here are crimes that university officials knew about and never reported to the police.
I really don't follow Big Ten football. I'm a big SEC guy. But is the University of Michigan Catholic? Is that considered a Catholic school? I know Notre Dame is. Penn State? I mean, look at what Jerry Sandusky and Joe Pa. Joe Pa deserved to be stripped of every accolade he won through his career. And Sandusky, yeah, he deserved every bit of what he got. Matter of fact, he should have gotten the death penalty.
To the state medical board or to anyone else in a position to investigate and potentially prosecute.
$30 million from the settlement is being set aside for any future claims of abuse. And the agreement comes on the heels of the abrupt firing just this weekend of university president Mark Schlissel due to an alleged inappropriate relationship with a university employee. The board now appointing former University of Michigan president Mary Sue Coleman as interim president.
I mean, Michigan's kind of working smart there. I mean, I'm not giving them any credit at all, but you definitely got to put a woman in there. I mean, you put a woman in there. I mean, it does take a little bit of the sting off of it. But $493 million. By the way, NCAA, even though this happened in the past, needs to come forward, and Michigan needs to be put on probation. They should not even sniff a bowl game. They should not even sniff a Big Ten championship game. They should. They should have a lot of scholarships ripped right from them. They should take seats away from the big house and call it a day. I know that a lot of students, I'm telling you right now, if I was a football player on Michigan, I would move on. They should allow every single player on that football team, if they want to transfer and enter the transfer portal, they should. They should do that. It's not going to make things better, but it's a start.
The university needs to do a hard reset on this whole culture, and it needs to be from the top down and also from the bottom up.
I talk about all the time how I always wanted to be like a reporter. I never wanted to be an anchor. Like, the more beautiful people get put at the anchor desk when it comes to local TV news. But And you got to be semi-attractive to be a beat reporter or street reporter out in the field, you know, gathering the news, because, you know, you have to get in there. You have to get in the dirt. You got to hustle. And I've always wanted to do that, because I think that would be great, because a lot of these field reporters, they don't ask follow-up questions. They don't press people. I don't even know. Hell, I might just have a big head because I did such a great job when I covered the Casey Anthony trial. Oh, sorry about that. I'm very phlegmy this morning. But see, that right there, bad field reporting. Could you imagine if I had an air bubble stuck or I was phlegmy out there? Yeah, that wouldn't fly. Program director would fire me immediately. But I always see them on the news. And if these reporters are anywhere near a road, an intersection, not even close to it, they're always wearing those safety vests, neon, reflective, so people can see them. I was like, you're not even close to the road. Why are you even wearing one of those dumb-looking things? I had to wear them all the time when I was an iron worker, and I can understand that. You want people to be able to see you. But I saw this was posted on World Star Hip Hop, and this woman, was out reporting. I don't know. It must have been some type of accident or weather related, because they had a lot of roads closed down. As a matter of fact, I think she does mention a dam break. But she was doing her live shot, and some old lady, by the way, just kind of solidifies my stance on, once you get to a certain age, you got to start taking the driving test a little bit more. The local governments are like, get so annoyed when really elderly, senile people come in there. Now, for the most part, a lot of people just can drive all the way until they die. But a lot of these people, the government will give them a license, like, oh, it's good for another 20 years. Because this next reporter during her live shot gets run over.
Now we're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I'm sorry. I know that I shouldn't laugh. The only reason that I'm laughing is because I know that she's okay. And it wasn't even a high-speed car. It was some lady making a left-hand turn. Matter of fact, why was a reporter even in the middle of the street? But this old lady bumps her. I think the lady's leg gets run over. Like I said, this was not a high-speed hit-and-run or anything. But it would be a little bit of a shock when, during your live report, some old broad sideswipes you.
Got hit by a car, but I'm okay. I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Oh, I would be so mad. And that shows you that a lot of these anchors don't have any personality at all. Because this dude's response, and I don't even know where the hell this was at, but you could know it's some small market. And this guy's like, well, that's a first on TV. Didn't even, like, ask the bitch if she was okay. No, she was, that's a first on TV. I'll buy that for a dollar.
We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good.
All right. Now, the more and more that I'm listening to this, maybe this is just me because I've worked in radio for so long. And I've been around a lot of wrestlers and but was a big wrestling fan. This almost sounds like a work. This sounds like the biggest setup deal in the world. Because like I said, it really wasn't even that bad of a hit. Could you imagine the program director and all the producers? Man, we're getting our ass kicked this ratings period. We got sweeps weeks coming up. What can we do to get a little bit of attention? How can we go viral? How can we get more viewership? And one of the interns in the back, he never talks. He just, you know, spitballing. He's probably high. He probably smoked a blunt before he walked into the news station. He's like, why am I doing my voice? Why don't we take a Shelly out there during the flooding, and we have Shelly take a bump. Shelly can take a bump. I've seen her. She's a big Ravishing Rick Rude fan. She knows how to do it. She loves hardcore wrestling. Let's put her out there. My mom, she's to the age. She looks a little elderly. We can have my mom sideswipe her, and we could do it. Because they're not selling the work on this one. It just sounds... That or this woman is one of the toughest chicks reporters that I've ever seen in my life, because she gets right back up, very professional, but it's really starting to sound kind of set up to me.
I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good.
All right. I might be changing my opinion here. That or she's, you know, you kind of made it sound like it was a work, and then you're hard selling it here. Because she sounds like she straight up has CTE from that. Because that, or she was already drunk. Maybe she had been partying with her field producer, cameraman. And they were like, oh, crap, we got a live shot. Well, I'm wasted, man, I'm wasted. She was probably wasted. It was like, all right, how can we get away with this? Because I got to do a report here. Maybe I can have some old lady hit me. We can throw her like 10 bucks. Producer, you brought your car? Let's pay this bum, this older bum, to be able to hit you with my car, and we'll play it off, and then you can get up and act like you have a concussion or CTE, and we're all good. We're out of the woods here.
This is, You know what? It's one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you, sure
you
okay?
are so sweet and you are okay.
I'm okay.
It is all good. You know, I... oh, Lord.
So you...
That or she just got drunk, was banging her cameraman, didn't know they had a live shot, lost track of time. She probably was drunk, but got hit by it either way, and it was just dumb luck. That or I said, she can take a hit. She can take a hit all day, and she's going to be a professional and report on this flooding that we got going on in Podunk, who knows where.
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes.
I'm so confused here. I really am. Like I said, this was not some, like, high speed... I didn't do a bump of cocaine there. I just got a runny nose. Back to the phlegmy thing. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm so confused here because, like, it wasn't a hard hit, but she did take a bump. She actually took a little bit of a tumble. This reporter doesn't seem like he knows what the hell is going on, so that leads me to believe that it's real, but he also says some of the dumbest stuff that make it seem like it's set up. I don't know here. I can't make a call on this one. I'm wavering like a flag right now.
But this is live TV and everything's okay. I thought I was in a safe spot, but clearly we might need to move the camera over a bit.
Yeah.
So let me do that while I'm thinking
you're in,
of it.
Now, just to set you stage
you
for
know?
You, once again, Tori's in an area right now where there's been a water main break. So there are emergency vehicles around there. And a lot of times what we have seen in those kind of situations
yeah.
are in, when emergency vehicles are around, there's a lot of confusion from people about drivers, about where to go. So it's possible
people
that's
get
what
distracted
happened there.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would be way more pissed off than that. I don't know. Like, I would you guys have liked her to just start dropping the F-bombs? Like, you dumb bitch, you mother effing C-word. Not you know, see you next Tuesday word. But yeah, no, she was playing it off like, oh, you're a dear, ma'am. Oh, the God, I would have been way more pissed off. I wish you would have cut a promo on this bitch.
Sorry, you didn't even see
oh,
the
Oh, God, that woman.
I've discussed this before on previous podcasts. I just don't understand what the fascination with getting buried and having nice plots or getting buried in a mausoleum. I just think that it is a big waste of space. It's not for the people that passed away, that have moved on. I'm not a religious person, so I don't believe in the afterlife, but I do believe in energy, and I do believe energy never dissipates. But I really do think it's a big waste. Like, for example, why do people spend, like, $5,000 or so on the nicest coffin? All the flowers, spend a couple grand on these tombstones, not the tombstones, because I really do think it's a racket. I do think these graveyards, these crematoriums, they really do prey on people at their lowest point. They're just as bad as some of these car salesmen, because they will, like, well, what would your husband, what would your wife want? Would your wife or husband, your spouse, would they like to be buried in pure, like, Asian, Chinese silk lining, great pillow? Oh, by the way, he needs a $3,000 suit to be buried in. No. And this is something else that I have never, ever understood. So if you decide to open up a graveyard, Or a funeral home, well, besides a funeral home, but a graveyard. Say if you open up one, you bury a bunch of people, you get filled up. You're filled to the brim. You can't put any more corpses in the ground. Are you allowed to sell the place? Because I don't think you get a eternal or just infinite amount of time. Because that almost sounds like a bad investment. Well, at least a bad future investment. And are you paying rent on these things? Or can you just put a bunch of cash down all at one time and then call it a day? Because I've never looked into this, but I would think that a lot of graves have been buried over. I mean, look at all the Indian burial mounds. You know, every horror flick is based on somebody building a home on top of sacred ground. But this next story, it just, like, I understand why these people are upset. But if we just moved on and just started getting cremated, there are so many, like, creative ways that you could do it. You know, like I said, not a religious person, but I saw this, I think in India. I think the Buddhists, they do something called an aerial sky burial. Aerial sky burial. I didn't even mean to rhyme there. I'm a poet. I didn't even know it. But what they do is they bring your body out there. They do a big ceremony, completely nude. And then these big, I think some of the biggest condors or vultures come down. They pick you clean. They pick every single meat off of your bones. And then what they do is that these Buddhists, they come back out there. They will pick up the bones, and then they just bury the bones. I don't know what they do with it after that. But I just thought that was kind of a cool way. You know, there's also these people that will bury the body. You're kind of wrapped up in cloth. And they put like a tree. They plant a tree on top of you. And your body is the nutrient for that tree. I thought that was kind of cool. But the thing is, I mean, when you're gone, you don't know it. Do you remember before you were born? No. Do you remember, well, nobody knows, but do you remember after your death? I don't think so. No. So like I said, this whole thing is for the people that are still alive, not the person that is deceased.
Three sisters stand over their mother's grave in Eatonville, brokenhearted. It's a story that's hard to believe and hard for the Cobb family to accept.
And let me just give you a little bit of background, because I know a lot of people listen all over the world to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Eatonville is in Florida, and a lot of people don't know this, but Eatonville is the first incorporated black community, I think, in the United States of America. I mean, they have one of the best Martin Luther King parades. And I don't know. I would like to know, is this graveyard owned by a Caucasian? Because, I mean, that's a bad look on you. Even though that this could have been a mistake, it really could have been a mistake, but it's not a good look if you're a white grave owner and you're screwing over a black family that just lost a loved one. Yeah, like I said, not a good look.
And they deserve to be buried by each other. They loved each other.
Their parents, Leroy and Benny Lee Cobb, were married 68 years.
Man, I tell you, Lenny and Leroy Cobb, I mean, that is a couple that were the patriarchs of a family, great family. Probably raised a lot of great kids. Probably had some of the best food in the neighborhood. Probably hardworking as hell. Leroy probably worked his fingers to the bone his whole life. But at the same time, like I said, I understand if you paid for something and you didn't get it, I understand why you're upset. But you also got to understand, I don't know if a gravedigger, I said grave digger, is a job that, you know, you get a lot of people. I know I would have to be high all the time. Hell, I might even start drinking again if I had to dig graves every single day of my life. And I can see where mistakes would be made, but like I said, when are we going to get rid of this practice of taking up a lot of space? And like I said, eventually, this whole real estate, because we're going to run out of real estate. The way people are moving into the state of Florida, yeah, they're eventually going to have to pave over graveyards. It's just a stone cold fact.
He, a pastor, she, a much beloved figure in Eatonville.
Because she's very wise and very loving and kind to everybody.
In 2009, the Cobb family says when their father passed away, their mother bought two plots in the Eatonville Memorial Garden Cemetery, one for her husband, the second for her. Then sadly, their mother passed away New Year's Day. As the family started making funeral arrangements, imagine their surprise when they were told there was already a body in her grave.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Leroy's got another woman moving. I know, look, I'm not trying to be insensitive here, but, I mean, it would make it even worse, like, if it was another woman that was buried beside your pastor father, Leroy. Maybe Leroy was a polygamist. I've been watching a lot of Big Love as of late. Maybe Leroy had a little side chick, a little side hustle going on there. Who knows? I really do feel bad for this family. You know, like, once again, if we did away with this stupid just, like, burying bodies in the ground, spending all this money. Hell, my dad passed away, and we still get people sending stuff because we got it done because my dad was cremated. My dad's ashes are sitting right next to his favorite dog, Lewis, our basset hound. My dad always wanted that. My dad wanted Lewis' ashes and his ashes to be with each other. Got Lewis's picture behind his urn. Got my dad's picture behind his. It's a great thing. I don't have to go to the graveyard every single time to be able to, you know, say hi to a tombstone. But what I'm trying to say is that this all could have been avoided, this pain and suffering that this family is going through right now, if we just did cremations, or we did the Indian sky burial that I was talking about, or get the body planted in a tree. You go look at that tree. Guess what? That tree is living. Your dad's energy, or your loved one's energy, is in that tree right now. It is something alive. That is way better, in my opinion, than going and putting flowers at a tombstone. That's just my view on the whole thing.
And I was thinking, how could something like that happen when my mother's name is on her headstone?
The organization now in charge of the cemetery was able to find a plot near their father. And for now, Benny Lee's final resting place is at the feet of her husband's grave.
Nah, man, you know what I'm saying? You dig down until you hit the coffin that old Leroy's in. You throw his wife on top of it. Because I just think it's kind of degrading to be buried at the foot of your husband. Like I said, dig down till you hit the coffin. And then you just throw her right on top. Well, not throw her on top. You obviously put another casket. They do it in mausoleums all the time. They stack coffins in mausoleums. So what's the difference? You put his wife in there like it's reverse cowgirl style.
We want her beside my dad, not to his feet.
How did this happen? The nonprofit in charge of the cemetery says it's a century old, has changed hands many times, and believes the company that sold the Cobbs the two plots back in 2009 didn't have the legal authority to do it. So what we're being told is when the Cobb family bought these two plots back in 2009, there was already somebody buried here.
So I'm saying... Look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to this family, but like I said, what if Leroy the preacher, like I said, had a little side chick that his wife didn't know about? Maybe she had already bought that. Maybe, hey, Leroy, yeah, honey, let's just buy those two plots. We'll say that you're going to get the one beside it, but I'm already in there. It's like finder's keeper. First one in the line. Early bird gets the worm. No pun intended, talking about corpses. But I guess, like I said, I mean, even the kids had a problem being buried at the feet. Like I said, dig down, put his wife on top of it. Matter of fact, if that chick or whoever is buried next to Leroy is a side chick, hey, she's going to be right on top of Leroy. I think that's a great compromise.
where the family thought their mother was going to be buried.
So what's next for their family? They don't know.
I love a good dramatic pause. I gotta give Meredith a thumbs up on that. Her delivery. I remember Salt Brother Kevin singing the national anthem. He did a dramatic pause. Not a disrespectful dramatic pause. But, you know, when you hit that last little high spot, crowd went crazy. I think the dramatic pause is so underrated. People need to use it way, way more.
They hope another family won't go through this again. But the folks in charge say this is not the first time this has happened and most likely won't be the last.
All right. Like I said, not trying to be disrespectful. I just really think that we could do better than this old, like, habit of just burying our dead in a $5,000 casket. It doesn't make sense. It's a waste of money. It's for the people that are left behind. Like I said, I don't even have to leave the house to check out my old dog, Lewis, and my dad. It's the same thing. Matter of fact, I think it's even way more of an honor and respectful to do that than to waste a bunch of money on a burial plot, expensive-ass headstone, and a coffin. All right. I'm probably pissed a lot of people off, but I guess that's what I do. Gonna get out of here. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to PayPal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two D's .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.